Jason Wilde is going to join us in a couple of minutes, and he's had a long day as well covering this story. And I believe Jason was up about 2:45 in the morning. So he, of all the people who have been on the air, and ESPN Wisconsin, WTMJ Today, my guess is that Jason Wilde's day started before anybody else's, and it was in the very wee hours of the morning. Is that accurate, Jason? 2:45 a.m., were you up? Were you grinding through notes and oatmeal and just trying to get your day sorted out?
Sort of. I did wake up, but I had trouble getting back to sleep. I did fall back to sleep from about 5 until 6:30, so I can't claim that I've been up since 2:45, but as you guys know, we are really lucky to do this job. You will not hear me complain. I may complain that some of the questions that I would like to have had answered today went unanswered, and some of the follow-ups I would have liked to have had asked were not asked, but it's you know, these are the moments, right? The good, bad, indifferent. These are the moments that when we do this job, it's because there's big news. And we get to be part of covering it, whether it's a team winning a Super Bowl or it's a team saying goodbye to Brett Favre, or now a team in the process of but not yet capable of saying goodbye to Aaron Rodgers.
No, and I would agree with you with that. What question would you have liked answered that wasn't asked? I'm curious, Jason.
You know, we haven't talked in a while, and yet the first thing you say is that you agree with me. It's like old time.
Yeah. I even set it up. I think Gary and Jason will disagree today. And you start with that,
Gary. We'll get into it. It's coming.
I among the things that I would have liked asked, one was when Rodgers said he believes in direct communication, I really wanted to know, well, how much direct communication did you attempt to have with the Packers?
Thank you.
I don't think he's wrong in being irritated that they changed their messaging on him. I mean, if he's telling the truth, that they gave him the impression after the season ended and he had his exit interviews that they definitely wanted him back, and then things changed, you know, I think he deserves an explanation as to why things changed. At the same time, if he's going to complain about not having gotten direct communication from Goody, I guess I would ask, you know, you're able to say how important direct communication is on the radio or on YouTube with Pat McAfee. Did you call him and say, hey, man, how about a little direct communication? What the hell's going on here? Or was it just sort of the, well, he's got to call me, I'm not going to call him, right? Like a bad breakup. The other thing that I would really like to know, and I will ask him, I hope, someday on the record, would be when you look back on how things have played out since June 7th, when we all stood at your locker and Rob Domofsky asked you, does this mean that you will end your career with the Packers? And you said, yes, definitely. What changed? What did you do, and what would you do differently now that you know that it will not end with you as a member of the Green Bay Packers? What could you have done differently to prevent this outcome? Not what could Goody have done differently, not what could Mark Murphy have done differently, because there's things they could have done differently too, but what could you have done differently so we wouldn't be where we are today? I would like to have heard what he would have said to that.
You know, real quick before you do that, but listen, I agree with Mark Tauscher, who you co-host with, and what he said. To me, all Aaron Rodgers would have had to have done is said, you know what? I'm coming back next year, and I'm looking to lead these bunch of guys in this locker room to the Super Bowl. Done. Zip, zero, done. To me, and I'm old school, you can't have foot in and one foot out. You got to be a leader of men.
You're asking him to do something that, you know, he hasn't done, though, over the last couple seasons after ending the season.
Agreed. But he is not. You got to be able to galvanize. One thing I think I really like more about Brett Favre to me seems like he galvanized the locker room. You got to be able to galvanize everybody in the locker room. One thing I like about sports is you can take a joker from country, wherever, and a kid from the city of New York or a kid from Dairyland, Wisconsin, put them all together in a locker room, and they're fighting for one common cause. I just felt like Aaron Rodgers at some point wasn't with everybody in, wasn't reaching everybody in that locker room.
Yeah, I would say a couple things. First of all, I think one of the reasons why he was unwilling to say that is that I don't think he had sufficient trust in Goody. I don't think he ever has. I would argue, and I got into a pretty heated argument with someone who works in the organization about this, I don't think Goody's any better than Ted. I don't think he's better with the media. I don't think he's a better drafter. I don't think he's that much more active in free agency. I don't think he's any better than Ted. If you made me choose, I would pick Ted. And not it's not even close. And Aaron Rodgers would get frustrated with Ted, too. So that's part of, I don't think he believes in what Goody's doing. I don't think he believes in Goody's scouting acumen. And I think that influenced how he felt about this team's chances of being successful. As far as galvanizing a locker room, I think we need to be careful because I think we all have, you know, misty watercolor memories of the way both these quarterbacks were, because both of them absolutely galvanized locker rooms. Absolutely. But Brett Favre didn't do it at the end in Green Bay, and neither did Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
You're right about that.
Correct.
And so, you know, you end up, if you can't continue to do that, and, you know, Gary, you played in the league. You understand this better than I do, but I'm in the locker room every day, and I know what resonates with guys. And when Brett Favre was dressing in a separate locker room and making zero effort to connect with the young guys on the roster, he lost his team. His old guys were still supportive of him, but fewer and fewer of those guys were left on the roster. Rodgers saw that happen. He vowed that he would not allow that to happen. And yet he passed up a golden opportunity in the offseason to work to get on the same page with young guys and get to understand them better. And then in season, he did things like go on McAfee and bemoan all the mental errors that were being made. You can't do that. And then to stand at your locker, when I ask you point blank, Aaron, was that good leadership to complain about all those mental errors publicly? And if so, can you explain to me why it's good leadership? Because I don't get it. And for him to say that, hey, if those guys have a problem with it, I'm right here. They know where to find me, and no one's come up and talked to me. You know, again, I'm not a violent guy. He would kick the crap out of me if I tried to beat him up. But I kind of wanted to grab him by the shirt collar and go, dude, wake up. Mm-hmm. Romeo Doubs is not going to come up
not
to
doing
you
it.
And say, hey, man, that was BS what you told McAfee. He's not.
Nope.
He's afraid of his own shadow right now. And so that's my point about missteps. I think there's plenty of them on both sides.
Yes.
I think Mark Murphy tends to be a misstep waiting to happen when a microphone is in front of him. I think Goody has made all kinds of mistakes, and not just an evaluation. And I think Aaron Rodgers could have done things differently that we didn't have to end up where we are today. And I'll tell you guys this, too. I reached out to three different NFL executives that are with other teams other than the Packers and the Jets. And I asked all three of them, what's realistic for Goody to expect in exchange for Rodgers at this point? And I will tell you, the consensus was that if the Packers are on the hook for some of his salary, they can get a second-round pick. And if they refuse to take on any of his salary, they can get a third-round pick.
Oh,
now, if they
goodness.
Get more than that, if they get more than that, if they get a first-round pick, or if they get a second-round pick this year and an additional conditional pick next year or something like that, great. But I would really love to know, because you know that the leaking machine came out shortly after Rodgers was on the air, and we saw multiple people reporting that the Packers are not asking for two first-round picks anymore for Rodgers. I would love to know what their asking price is right now, because I'm guessing it's higher than what those scouts and what those executives told me.
Jason, one of the common denominators going back to 2020, even now this offseason, is Jordan Love. And the thing that's fascinating to me is a lot changed from the end of the season in the exit interviews to now. And the narrative of Jordan Love is becoming the guy. Is that the vital thing that changed? Because to me, what could have changed with Jordan Love? They saw him during the season. Nothing was showed during the last 3 months. Like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, like, what, like, If Jordan Love was the guy, why didn't they rip the Band-Aid off at the end of the season and start this process then versus now?
Yeah, I mean, Benny, there's a bunch of possible reasons, right? Everything from deference to Aaron Rodgers to believing that even with Jordan's improvement, that they were better off with Rodgers at quarterback, or they're just full of it. Like, look, I'm going to be very clear about this because just like I felt about Rodgers in 2008 when there were, you know, 12-year-old kids telling him to go F himself as he was punching in the code to get into the parking lot and fans booing him at family night.
Right.
Jordan Love doesn't deserve any scorn. He did nothing wrong, just like Rodgers didn't then. But I'm sorry. I don't think that I think they're overselling how good they think Jordan Love is. I think they know that they have to talk that way. But if you were so convinced that he had made this many strides, then why didn't you have the guts when Rodgers broke his thumb in London to say, look, the Cowboys shut down Dak Prescott when he broke his thumb. I know you're not going to approve of this, but we're sitting you down for a few weeks. If you thought Jordan Love could win games for you, if you thought he had made that much advancement, then why the hell wasn't he in the starting lineup when Rodgers was playing with a broken thumb? And you can tell me that you were so impressed with the 10 snaps against Philly. It was 10 snaps. So this idea that he has made these leaps and bounds, and there are people in the media who, for all the garbage that I dealt with for being a toady for Rodgers and all this other crap, there are people that clearly were rooting against Rodgers and now are rooting for Love. And that's completely unprofessional. I'm not rooting against Jordan Love. And as a person, I really like him. Like, this was the first year I got to be in a locker room with him. His first 2 years, we weren't in there. But he and I, his girlfriend played volleyball at Oregon. So he talked, you know, we talked about me watching volleyball with Maddie being a seventh grader. I mean, we had actual, like, human interactions. I obviously did that story late in the year where I talked to him in the hallway after he played so well against Philly. And everything that got blown up was that I thought he would ask for a trade if Rodgers came back to be the starter and he had to sit for a fourth season. People didn't even read the story about how introspective he was and how honest he was about how far he had to come to improve. I think he is a lot better. Do I think that he's going to be good enough to take them to the playoffs? Probably not. Is it possible that they augment their roster and he can do in Matt LaFleur's system what Brock Purdy did in Shanahan's system and they could be better than we expect? Absolutely. But let's not make it sound like we've already got the third straight Hall of Fame quarterback lined up here because everybody's just so sick and tired of Rodgers.
Good stuff, Jason. Enjoy the rest of your night. I know you'll be back on the Tausch tomorrow, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. Wildy and Tausch, really good stuff, Jason, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jay.
I think I'm tired. I sounded a little grumpy there.
All right, no, all good.
We all are grumpy right now.
Hydrate. Pickle juice helps hydrate.
No, thanks.
I think, no, it's not that good. Thank you, pal.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Yeah, Jason Wildy joining us here on our Rodgers specialty programming here, ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ. I don't know if the Packers are ever going to admit to be a rebuilding team, but let's look at this team objectively. Should they be looking at a rebuild? And screw the term reload, right? That's just a glossy way to dress up the word rebuild. The same damn thing. All right, just got to reload. No, do you need to rebuild? It's the same thing. But how good are the Packers with Jordan Love playing quarterback? I've got a question. I'm going to let you ponder it. We'll assess it after the break. Can the Packers win two playoff games in the next 6 years?